Welcome to episode 3 of Dead FM, the Dead Gentlemen podcast, bringing you news and updates on what we're up to and to force into your brainal cavity whatever we think is worth it. Today on the show, Chris Dupenthaler and I had a phone interview with Phil Price, the actor who played Nimble in The Gamers and Willem, the peasant, in The Gamers Darkness Rising. Phil's also known as Phil the Producer, and we'll be hearing some of his music today. Also, the Gnome Shopping Network will check in on what they're selling. And now here's the news. If you backed the Demon Hunters RPG, A Comedy of Terrors Kickstarter, this Friday, December 12th, we are starting to lock down the orders. That means you can't update your order, but you can update your address, etc. Speaking of said Kickstarter, the new Brotherhood pins are in, and they are gorgeous. A snapshot of the real thing is posted on Dead FM, and a Kickstarter update is coming. Subscribe to the DG newsletter at deadgentleman.com. There's a box there. Put your email address into it, and you'll get news and updates, videos and pics right into your inbox. Thomas Gofton of Linvander Inc. turned in a draft script to DG this morning for the Gamers Natural One sequel. The draft has gone to Matt Vansel and Christian Doyle for development. We'll keep you posted. Dead FM is being planned out as a season, tentatively to end around April Fool's Day. We'll see how that goes. After the season is over, we'll regroup and work on some new material. So make sure you subscribe, send us your comments, questions. Let us know that you're listening. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher, and other podcast services. We are already getting requests to put stuff on Dead FM, like an orcish pop song. Do you have material that would feature well on Dead FM? Send an email to dead.fm@deadgentleman.com. And that's the news.
You're listening to Dead FM.
Probably something that limits your freedom.
Welcome back to the Gnome Shopping Network. Next up, our tankers have whipped up something really great.
Really great, Quillen, really great.
What we have here, right here, is item GSN115512. That's an authentic Vorpal Edged Worm Slayer. That's Vorpal Edged, Quarrel.
Vorpal Edged.
That's right. So that's going to cut right through any non-enchanted armor like a hot basilisk fang through a kobold.
Vorpal Edged.
This limited edition piece features not one, not two, but three platinum sockets for enchantment gemstones. Quarrel, didn't we have some of those up in the last hour?
Indeed we did, Quillen. Item GSN115402 is still available. That's a genuine topaz stone with a blessing of retribution. But let's talk about this knife. Now, what are we looking at on the blade here?
Oh, those right there are deep magic runes. That's right, deep magic runes. I tell you, Quarrel, you just don't see those on a piece going for... Hey, Adamir? What's the price on this again? Are you serious? You cannot be serious. 40 gold pieces, folks.
40 gold pieces? I don't believe it. Adamir, are you sure that's not a scribo? No? Not a scribo, folks. That's 40 gold pieces to own this incredible piece of hardware. Now, tell us a little more about those runes.
Running down the side of the blade, we have two ancient arcane inscriptions. These are authentic arcane inscriptions, folks. This isn't a low-quality rune like you'd find on a blade sold out of a vendor cart outside of some orc nest. These are honest, deep magic runes from the lost tongue of the ancient arcanes.
And what do they do?
You just get right to it, don't you, Quarrel? Well, what if I told you that these runes provided both protection from fire and, are you ready for this, increased agility? That's right. All of that... and this stylish, real owlbear bone handle.
What? Real owlbear? You can't be serious. For 40 gold pieces?
Authentic owlbear. Now, we can't offer this for long, folks. This is just too good a deal. Adamir, why don't you go ahead and put 20 minutes up on the hourglass?
And remember, every blade comes with a hand-signed certificate of authenticity and a hand-stitched scabbard with... and I just cannot believe this. Cave eel oil waterproofing. So you go right on ahead and take this with you into that underwater temple.
Item GSN115512, our Vorpal Edge Worm Slayer, folks, 40 gold for the next 20 minutes. 19? The next 19 minutes left on this incredible deal. I tell you, Quarrel, I'm going to pick up a couple of these myself. Why don't we go to the mouth and talk to one of our shoppers?
Hello, you're on the Magic Mouth with GSN. Caller, hello? Well, I guess he...
Hi, am I on?
Yes, caller, you're live on the air.
Oh, wow, great.
Did you get a chance to pick up the Worm Slayer?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm on the air. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I saw the deal, and I told my mom... Hi, Mom, I'm on the air. I told my mom that I just couldn't believe it.
Well, these are going to go fast, so I'm glad you got through. If those lines are busy, folks, just keep trying. We're seeing... Yep, we're seeing over half of these incredible blades sold. What's your name, caller?
Xandius. Xandius the Swift. Wow, what an honor. I can't believe it.
Well, you better believe it. So, Xandius, any plans on how you're going to use your Worm Slayer?
Well, right now I'm working at the Red Stiletto, you know, flipping mutton until I can get my adventuring party together. But next spring I'm planning a trip to the Silver Mountains. There's a Goblin King sitting on some treasure and, you know, I'm training up in my spare time. I'm gonna take that and get my own place, maybe. Do you know if this works on goblins?
I don't see why it wouldn't. Quirrell, any reason this wouldn't be just as deadly to a goblin?
Well, Quillen, I think pretty much anything you can stab with this blade. It's made from high-quality ore mined in the Deadmire, fired and crafted by the finest dwarven tinkers in the land.
Deadmire?
These blades are a once-in-a-lifetime offer, folks. This deal is never going to be offered again.
Aren't the Deadmire mines cursed?
Never again, Quillen. To be honest, I'm not sure how we can offer them now. I'm sure we're taking a loss on these folks, but I don't do the books here. I just sell them.
There's even a song about it, you know. Beware ye all the Deadmire mines, woe and strife be all ye find. The light of day shall ne'er ye see, for black as pitch your heart.
Sorry, caller, that wasn't clear. Can you say that again? It sounds like... Yeah, we lost him.
He's probably waiting at his door for this marvelous blade. Coated with an anti-corrosive potion and perfect for hip wear or to store in your sack.
And rogues, those runes aren't just good for magic. They're also deep cut to hold on to any poison you apply. So don't think this is just a ranger weapon. This blade is truly versatile.
Item GSN-115512, the Vorpal Edge Worm Slayer, 40 gold pieces for the next 17 minutes or until supplies run out. Stay tuned, because after the break, we're coming back with a genuine Black Dragon Scale sport jacket and matching Alpha Toner Beholder Skin gloves. That and more after we return.
So we have Phil Price here with us, who you may or may not remember from all kinds of crazy audio adventures like Demon Hunters.
Yeah, holy cow. Dead Kemper Lake. We put you through the ringer.
That's right.
Actually, it's probably...
It goes way back.
Yeah.
Probably the best video appearance of a sound guy ever in any movie.
It might be.
That's right. I got a knife to the fanny pack.
Yeah. So Phil is joining us from Tacoma via the interwebs. Phil Price also is recognizable on screen as Nimble from The Gamers, and from as Willem in the Gamers Darkness Rising, the peasant.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Things had gotten bigger at that point, like the production crews. Like, there was one.
Yeah.
You know, and we had, like, the new folks come in, Christian and Scott and everybody.
So, you've been in a lot of different Dead Gentlemen shows. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what you have going on right now.
Right now, well, besides, you know, being a web tech person, and coming up with a new it's nerdy. I won't talk too much about it, but I'm coming up with a new architecture
Phil, talk nerdy to us.
Okay. A new architecture in PHP for having products that have cores. You can upgrade them and reuse them, and it's awesome. And but beyond that, I have a bubble business called Big Monster Bubbles.
I've actually demoed these big monster bubbles, and I have to say they're monstrous. Like, yeah. I think I got a bubble that could envelop a very small, maybe, Cadillac.
Yeah, at least a smart car. Like, it's they get crazy big.
Yeah. So, how the hell do they get, like, you have, like, a recipe or a formula that you use to make them so resilient. How did you come up with that?
Well, I started with a lot of online research, you know, just like how people might kind of make their own cookie recipe or something. You kind of like, what are people doing? What's the theory behind that polymer and this? And you sort of kind of like come up with your own deal that's easy to make with the ingredients that are available to you.
Yeah.
And so I spent 1 year figuring out how to do it, and then another year figuring out how to do it like well. And then another year to kind of even do some finer tweaking so it could be like a more product-like, because it's strange, like the same ingredients, you can mix them like in 12 different orders, but only like a couple or a few of those orders make a crystal clear like concentrate, and the others come out cloudy. So anyways, you know, all that to just come up with like a good bubble product. But they always like turn out real big and like massive. In this video, we just put together this video using Adam Utley's, I want to say it's a DH4, I don't know cameras, but it's this camera that does 96 frames per second. It also does 4K, and this thing is ridiculous. And the 96 frames per second video of bubbles is like crazy mesmerizing.
Yeah.
And what I did is I pulled out all the stops because, you know, we had like a meeting beforehand. He's like, now, Phil, if we're going to do this, we're going to go big. We're going to be serious about this. And I was like, of course we are. So I went out and invited like all my best customers, basically, and some people at work. And I had six people at all times, like making bubbles and bubble formations. So I'd get them together and they would do like things like the Blue Angels do, you know, just like, okay, and everyone, one, two, three, and go, you know? And what came out, and we did that for like a couple hours, like first thing in the morning. So the light was just washing gold over everything.
Wow.
And what came out was just beautiful. And I can't wait to release it. And it's going to be released as soon as the online store gets done. Because the online store is in WordPress, and you know how that goes.
Right. Oh, yeah. Man. We can relate. We're in the process of creating nerdycrap.com.
And nice.
It's going to be a WordPress-based e-commerce. Yeah.
Awesome. When's that come out?
When we get to it. Probably 2015 at some point, you know, early. Hoping January, but...
Awesome.
I'm stoked to see that video. You know, I really like describing cool visual stuff in audio only format.
I know.
I have a question. Why bubbles?
Gosh, it's one of those things where you just follow the bouncy ball, or you follow your heart, or however you want to phrase that concept. And it's just like, you know, it's not like I wanted something to do. So I was like, well, not this, not that. How about bubbles? I just one day really wanted to make big bubbles. So I went to Toys R Us and they had nothing. And I went to all these stores, they had nothing. So I ordered online from a company and I got it. And the bubbles were pretty good, but they were expensive and they weren't like as good as I've seen. So I just kind of obsessed over figuring out how to make it myself, because then I'm like, I can make all I could ever want, you know. And I did, and I got it going. And then I would do it out and about. And the funny thing about bubbles is, if you're like 6 months old, or if you're like 92 years old, if you're like a cool, you know, kid, if you're like a cool teenager with your cool friends or whatever, or you're like, you know, some grandparents out for a picnic, like, it don't matter who you are, everybody stops and looks at the bubbles, and everyone talks about it and is like, ooh, and ah, And it's this amazing thing that, like, really brings people together. Like, wicked. And I, you know, even deer stop and watch bubbles sometimes. So it's like, I just like to say, if you have eyeballs, you know, you just love them.
Yeah. That's great.
Phil,
yeah,
I can attest to the bubble effect. We've had some of your bubbles over here for a little get together, and little kids are mesmerized. And I think we did actually have a couple deer that stopped eating our garden long enough to watch the bubbles.
Yeah. And that night was really cool because you had the bubbles and then you had like the fire juggling.
Yeah, it does go well with fire juggling.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
And to be fair,
my brother, what's that?
For our listeners here, these bubbles are like iridescent purple and green and cool colors. Like, mm-hmm. We're not just talking like clear here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they pick it up, and it's funny to do it when the sun's in, you know, near one of the, you know, sunrise or sunset or something too, because mm-hmm. then they really pop off. Then yeah, it's funny. I even like doing them at night. Like in all the street lights, ghost light kind of like reflecting off of it.
Yeah, we haven't done
that. That's a pretty sick pictures taken in those circumstances too.
Cool.
We were talking earlier about that audio podcast we did something like 6-7 years ago, Dead Air. And we did it in your living room or something, or in one of your rooms, and you like had mics up and we all sat there and recorded. And we had that song, Morning Light, on there, which was awesome. And, I mean, as long as I've known you, you've been sort of tinkering and making music and stuff. And so I would love to have you play something. Let's talk about Brother. So
Brother was a fun one. I made that with Mark Carr.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Well, I had a beat. Well, when I woke up one Sunday and I was like, I want to make a song that sounds like Daft Punk. Like the sort of airy, fluty sort mm-hmm. of stuff, like off of Discovery. Mm-hmm. And I put this little beat together and it was nice. And I had about like 2.5 minutes of it sort of worked out. And then Mark, I think he was rooming. I'm not sure if he was rooming with me at the time or if he was just about to, but he came over. I was like, hey, yeah, listen to this beat. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's cool. He's like, you got a microphone? I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. So he just kind of freestyled over it for like 6 minutes. And it was just awesome. Like, as it was happening and he was singing the hook, I was just kind of in my chair like,
yeah,
don't let the ears squeak. This has to be perfect, you know? When he did it, I was able to like take the pieces, and it doesn't work with every, you know, session ever, but when you can get a session where there's like really iconic phrases that come out of the singer that you can arrange over the beat, it kind of becomes this like nice heady track. Yeah. And it's funny too, because I almost think like the lyrics kind of touch upon stuff that was not between Mark and I, but maybe been happening in his life with someone, and I know it was happening in my life with someone, so just kind of gratifying and like cool to just hear these words like just coming out in that way with that vibe. And he's got this whole like, Mark was in his prime then too, like, and he had this whole kind of like Bobby McFerrin vibe.
I was gonna bring up Bobby McFerrin because it was gorgeous, and
I
really wanted to play that. So let's hear Brother vocals, Mark Carr on vocals here.
Thank you.
Because Moogs have this really great signature sound, you know? Like, I mean, they're as recognizable as a 303, like... Because when you go to look for synthesizers, you know, you first of all, you have the choice between analog and digital, and there's lots of great digital ones, but if you get, like, a true classic analog synth, you know, and, like, a modern version of it that's got all the MIDI hookups and everything, there's just something about it that once you hear it, you're like, oh... Yeah, that's it. That's that's what I've been looking for the whole time. Like, that's the sound.
Sure.
Like, so you get this kind of, like, you know, beautiful kind of acidic line kind of floating in, and then the song builds and then, like, kind of climaxes and, like, pops like a balloon covered with shaving cream or something.
Kind of like one of your bubbles?
It just gets everywhere. Like, it's not like you're gonna hear, like, the dubstep or the you know, the stuff they do, but it's my take on what, like, a real hard halftime drop would be.
So, right on. So that's called Airflow. Okay, well, let's listen to that.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And what are you calling yourself? Are you still Phil the Producer, or?
You know, I pick a new name every year.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. We can go with Phil. Yeah, Phil.
Right.
Phil the Producer is good.
Fair enough.
I mean, I call myself, just for funsies, Phil in the Blanks.
Right.
Clovertron, Push Fuzz, Candy Magnet, Lemon Circuit. It just goes all over.
Nice.
I don't know. I always, these names always have like really deep meaning to me, like in some psychedelic moment. And
yeah.
Then later it's kind of like, oh, that doesn't really hit reality super well, does it? But they're always they're always fun.
Well, I have probably a dozen tracks by you back in the early days that were all titled Fill in the Blanks. So I've got a nostalgia for that name for sure. If we did another Gamers...
What's that?
I said, so if we did another Gamers movie where you could be nimble again, what would you think about that?
I think it'd be like Clerks 2, where that one dude came back and he was all chubby.
Well, but there's robes, you know.
It'd be fun. No, that'd be fun, though.
Good, because we're scheming.
Good. I also would love to see, gamers or otherwise, like, video game. There was talks in the works in Once Upon a Time about, like, a Dragon's Lair-style video game where you could, like, make choice. You know, you'd be playing the video, and then if you push up in time, they'll do the thing, and if you don't push up in time, something falls on them or whatever.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. That'd be fun, too. Just daydreaming.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's awesome. We'll get somebody on that.
I mean, I don't know. I know. It takes a lot of time to do that.
Well, it does. But, you know, one of the things that we, I don't know, we released it on a press release or some damn thing, obscure blog post on Demon Hunters or something. But we do actually have a Kentucky Blue Clay adventure game in the works, sort of the old LucasArts style, with puzzles and side scrolling basic, you know, funness. And
nice.
So when you say video games, it's not out of the realm of possibility of what I think our circle of brilliant people can pull off. And it's just a matter of expanding that out and saying, hey, here's something we'd like to do. Who wants in? And, you know, if anybody really thinks that's a great idea, let's do it. So if we want a Dragon's Lair-style gamers video game, and you're listening to this, send us an email.
Let us know.
We can probably try and make that happen.
Or if you know how to make one.
Right. Just go do that. Because, by the way. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. Well, great, Phil. It's been awesome to catch up with you. Thanks for taking the time to be on the show. And
good to hear some of your music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for getting in touch and playing the tracks and telling people about the bubbles and thanks for the good times. Yeah.
Don't worry, I've been telling people about the bubbles. Everyone that sees them floating away from my backyard.
Yeah. So, we've got the link on dead.fm to, if you want to buy some bubbles from Phil, you can buy it there. And
God's bones, man.
Dead FM. Next on the show will be Sean Bendixson, the writer of the song High Road. You are not going to want to miss this. His brothers, I am told, may even show up. We may have a jam session. Find out more what the Bendixsons are up to next on Dead FM. Dead FM is directed by Don Early. Contributors to Dead FM are Jimmy McMichael, Andy Dopierowski, Don Early, Brian Lewis, Scott C. Brown, and Chris Dupenthaler. Dead FM is copyrighted by Dead Gentlemen Productions, all rights reserved, 2014.
Dead FM theme song is arranged by Steve Wolbrecht, written and performed by Sean Bendixson and the Bendixson Brothers. Tune in every Wednesday for Dead FM. Subscribe to Dead.fm on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever the hell else you get podcasts.
Now that is a goddamn podcast. I can't.